Hey everybody, welcome to a round two preview from the Hockey Writers. And I'm here with Matthew and Jacob, and we're going to be previewing the Vancouver Canucks versus the Edmonton Oilers. We have an all-Canadian matchup. So we have a guaranteed Canadian team headed to the third round, which is pretty exciting. But it's been two very different paths on their way here. So the Vancouver Canucks knocked out the Nashville Predators in six games. The Edmonton Oilers had a bit of an easier time against the LA Kings for the third year in a row. But let's dive into a little bit about what happened in the first round, for each of these teams. So, Matthew, do you want to get us started on the Canucks?
Yeah, I mean, it started off, I'd say most of the series, it was actually all the series. It was a defensive battle. I mean, there was no shots on goal for most of games. I think Predators got over 20 shots a few times. Most of the time it was really low shots, low scoring, grinded out type series, which I wasn't really expecting at the beginning. I thought the Predators played a more fast-paced style, not this grinded out shot blocking team. But just looked like Barry Trotz just came told Andrew Brunette, we're gonna play like the Islanders of like, yeah, I don't know. But that's what it seemed like. And the Canucks kind of had a bit of problems getting shots through to Saros. And when Saros got it, he made some great saves. But in the end, they were able to win some, I don't want to say lucky games. I mean, they got lucky on a few times. Besser with his hat trick game where they were down. Right up until the end, they scored two goals, 6-on-5, and Besser completed the hat trick, and then Lindholm scores in overtime early on. And then even in game six, they came back and actually won that game off the same type of thing. And what was 0-0 for the whole game until the last few minutes, and then Pia Suter gets a break and scores the goal to win the game, 1-0. Biggest one was Artur Shelov's. The Canucks had to go through a bunch of goaltenders. Had one win per goaltender. Started with Demko in game one, and then DeSmith came in, won the next, and then Shelov's comes in because DeSmith got hurt or some kind of ailment he had, and then Shelov's just from there got the ball and ran with it, and got his first playoff shutout and first shutout overall in his career in game six and in a series clincher. So overall, I mean, the Canucks played a good defensive styles system throughout and had some good goaltending, got some clutch scoring at times, and that's how they won the series. I mean, did they deserve to win it? Maybe there are times you could say maybe not, but in the end, they did it. And yeah, they're off to the second round, and we'll see how they do against the Oilers.
It was a really interesting series to follow because going into it, you didn't think that these were two teams that you're really going to have to grind out your wins and whatnot. It was more so just you have to outscore your opponents, which I guess every game is. But nobody was looking at that series as a complete. I mean, for somebody that didn't have a dog in the race, it was a boring series, but that's a good thing for each of those teams. They can play that shutdown style. And yeah, it was really interesting to see how both those teams adapted to that. We really need to focus on the defense. And like you mentioned with the three goaltenders, like that's always tough. So it was a good series. Vancouver pulled out, so that's good. Jacob, what about the Edmonton Oilers? What a walk us through the first round for them.
Yeah, I'd say it was about what you would expect as far as what you would looking to be seeing out of the Oilers, especially out of the offense, leading the way. McDavid, Draisaitl, and then you had Evan Bouchard bringing up more of the offense, and that was the name of the game in the first round in general. Seven goals in the first game, five goals in the second, or four goals in the second game, six goals in the third game, then scored one in the fourth, and then they put up four in the fifth game to clinch it. So pucks in the back of the net, like we talked about in the preview for the first round. That's really what the key for them was going to be to actually pull out a win in this series, and that's exactly what they did. They relied on the offense, and the offense came through. All of the stars were doing exactly what they needed to be, or doing exactly what they needed to do. The power play was absolutely lethal, like it was supposed to be, and it just felt like a status quo type thing. There weren't really any surprises coming through in any part of this series. They were scoring when they were supposed to. They were defending exactly kind of how things were expected to. I mean, the one shutout in game four out of Skinner was a nice little added touch there, but I don't think anybody was expecting, a goaltending battle going into this series by any means. It was, if anything, it was supposed to be a barn burner type series, but it was fun. If anything else, it was a fun series to watch just because of all the goals that were getting scored. So it's the McDavid-Draisaitl show, and I think that's something that's gonna carry over into this series, especially with how high flying both offenses can be. But I think it'll be a little bit tougher with the goaltending situation that can happen in Vancouver.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was too surprised that the Oilers won that series. They were the heavy favorites headed in. But I was a little bit surprised at how much they ate up the LA Kings defensive structure, because that's what they're built on, was that 1-3-1 system, that boring hockey style that we just saw Vancouver Nashville play. And they just decimated that. So I wonder how Vancouver's going to have to adapt into maybe worry more about the offense, because it's no matter how good of defensive play you can have, impossible to slow down the Oilers. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Canucks kind of switch gears and ahead of this series. So Jacob, I'm going to stick with you. What's the storyline that you're going to be following for the Edmonton Oilers headed into this series?
To me, it's still going to be the forwards. It's the offense. It's how can everybody up top continue to produce the way that they should be? Can McDavid still be the superstar that he is? Can he still be leading the league in points by the end of the playoffs, even if they get knocked out somehow in the second round? Can Draisaitl still be leading the league in power play points in the playoffs by the end of the second round? It's a matter of can the scoring still continue at the accelerated rate that the Oilers are capable of doing? That really is the story of it. And I think with all of the players that have been stepping up for them in the playoffs and how everybody is producing, I think it's a good story that can continue. And I think it's something that can carry them really, really far. I'm not sure how well they'll be able to break through some of the defensive structure that the Canucks do have. I think that will be the challenge for them. But should they be able to actually punch through that and connect on some of their opportunities, I think it's going to be the turning point for them, more than if they can defend against what the Canucks offense can do. So I think this could be a little bit more of a barn burning type series if things get out of hand.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Matthew, there's quite a bit of storylines to follow. I mean, waiting for some of these star players to heat up. Elias Pettersson only finished with 3 assists. Artur Shelov, that's obviously, if he's going to continue into round two, that's a great storyline to follow. But what's the biggest one you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, like you said, there's quite a few. Like Shelov's, to me, you keep him in the net until he doesn't look good. I mean, there's no point putting in an unhealthy Demko, even if he is healthy enough to play. I wouldn't play him unless he's 110% ready. DeSmith, he'd probably be the next one up. But I don't know. Shelov's had a really good last few games. No, you can't fault him on any of the goals that were scored. Yes, he's going to be facing a ton more of an offensive, Connor McDavid coming in on you is different than even like as much as good as Philip Forsberg is, he's not McDavid. These guys, he can beat you in so many different ways. But the biggest one I'm going to be watching is, can the Canucks stay out of the penalty box? Even if taking one penalty, look what the LA Kings, they had one penalty in that one game. They lost 1-0. Guess what the score goal was scored on the power play. So, I mean, even if you do restrict the Oilers 5-on-5 and you give them a power play, you're probably gonna get scored on. So, the Canucks had a bit of problems with the penalties against Predators, had that 4-minute double minor against the Oilers. That's probably two goals on that double minor. So, as much as the penalty kill has been good for the Canucks in that series, you're going up against a, what did they were like 50% power play or something against the Kings. It was pretty crazy. You don't want to get into that boat. You don't want to get into penalty trouble against the Oilers, because you're probably going to lose that battle. The Canucks power play, I think special teams is going to be a big key in this series for both teams, because the Oilers penalty kill is more middle ground as well. Canucks power play hasn't been that good. It wasn't that good against the Predators. They had one game where it was. I think that was the only game where they had two power play goals, and that was the reason they won. But biggest thing for me, stay out of the penalty box because you're going to lose this series if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you're going up against the Oilers, that's the biggest thing you have to focus on, right? Because you can do everything to shut them down and whatnot, but as soon as they get that man advantage, it's over. It's almost like they might be running at 50%, which is absolutely insane, but you can expect them to score 100% of the time. That's if they get a power play, you should say, okay, there's a goal, right? So
Yeah.
it's really fun to watch too, because like offense is something that fans love to see. Nobody likes to watch the 1-0 games and whatnot, just because it's not exciting, especially if, again, if you don't have a dog in the race. But yeah, the Canucks are really gonna have to focus on staying out of the box. And like you said, their penalty kill was really good, so I'm just gonna have to keep that up and maybe even tighten it up a little bit more. So who are you gonna be keeping an eye on? Who are your players to watch, Matthew?
Elias Pettersson is my biggest one because, like they said at the end of that series, it's a reset for him now. I mean, started 0-0 again. You can say, yes, he struggled in that Predators series, but I look back to when the Canucks were, it's funny because the last time they played the Predators, the Sedins were non-existent in that series. And they were always, everyone was worried about, oh, they're not doing anything. And then they played against the Sharks, and the Sedins were one of their best. Two of their best players in that series. So this is a reset. If Pettersson can get going against the Oilers, everyone just forget what he did against the Predators, what his struggles were at the end of the season. And he dominates or had just not dominates or just was good against the Oilers and gets some points. Everyone's going to forget about it. So, I mean, he's got to be good. He's got to be better than he has been. And he's definitely capable of it. I mean, his points against the Oilers, I believe he's up there. It's not like they've been able to shut him down. He's got quite a few points against them. Another thing is another guy I'll be watching is I'd say that whole line, just like I said in the article I wrote just before the game six, was Pettersson's line of Ilya Mikheyev and Nils Höglander. Mikheyev has one goal in 50 games, so I mean I'm not expecting him to score, but it'd be nice if he did. Nils Höglander wasn't that good in the series. I thought he was gonna be a lot better. He was okay. I mean, he started becoming more noticeable in the last couple games, but against the Oilers, where you need some depth scoring, I think Höglander's got to be good. I mean, the other guys, of course, watching Brock Besser because he had the 4-goal game in his first game against the Oilers this season, kind of got him on the right track with his confidence. So I'm gonna see if he can maybe score and be a thorn in the Oilers' side. Because he did score quite a few goals against them, so I'm sure they're going to be looking to make sure he doesn't do that. So those are definitely the guys I'll be watching throughout this series, in addition to the goaltending, because we don't know, is Shulov's going to be the guy, or are we going to see maybe DeSmith, maybe Demko? I don't know. I we'll have to see where that all goes, but that's basically what I'll be watching.
Yeah, I mean, Elias Pettersson, I think, is the right answer for that. It's hard to have a right answer on such a
Yeah.
subjective question, but I see a lot of people saying that Pettersson hasn't been playing good, but he's getting the opportunities. I mean, like he could easily have another 2 goals and an assist on his record right now. And I mean, you look at the shot he missed, the wide open net. That was a hard watch, but I mean, it's not like he's not getting these chances. It's not like he's not playing well. He just happens to miss that chance. And if he has those 2 goals, we're not even having this conversation.
Yeah.
So, Jacob, what are you looking at? What players are you looking at for Edmonton this series that needs to either continue their dominance, if you're talking about McDavid or Draisaitl, or who needs to step up? Who are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I mean, the easy answer are those top two guys, but I'll hone in on a couple other ones. We'll talk Zach Hyman to start out because he's the leading goal scorer for them right now, and he's been a dominant goal scoring player for them all year. And the fact that he's continued that into the playoffs has been a huge, huge force for them. Overall, I mean, his shooting percentage alone speaks for itself at 35% right now. So, is that a sustainable, number in general? No, not during the regular season, but during the playoffs, he can hover around that 20 to 30% rate on this team, absolutely. So, continuing the goal scoring and maintaining that type of presence in front of the net like he has been all year is going to be something that's going to matter to them a lot, especially. Especially against a Vancouver team that can probably box him out and try and push him out and get rid of him in front of the net. Another player that I think could get a little bit more attention or deserves maybe a little bit more attention. He's been limited in his ice time. He's only about 9, maybe 10 minutes of ice time a night. Is Dylan Holloway. He's got 2 goals so far, and he only has 4 shots on goal, but that's a 50% shooting percentage. So, it's a small sample size, but at the same time, you think about it, and it's like, what if he had a little bit more opportunity? What if he was given a little bit more of a chance to provide some offense or provide a little bit more physicality and do a little bit more out on the ice? He could be a little bit more of a factor in a series like this, especially if he's providing more scoring depth. If somebody like Draisaitl, McDavid, or Hyman is getting shut down, maybe a little bit more depth down the lineup can provide something in a player like Holloway. So I think he would be somebody to watch in a series like this, and I think he could provide a lot of value.
Yeah, I think Holloway, especially like that young up and coming guy, he's going to be full of adrenaline. He's going to be wanting like he's going to be feeding off the playoff experience. And he didn't get as much opportunity this season as a lot of Oilers fans were hoping for. But he won, if I'm not mistaken, he won the Hobey Baker 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Like
I think it was two, yeah.
he's proven to be this dominant player. And so with more opportunity, I think that he really can be a big factor in this. I mean, as for Zach Hyman, like obviously he just scored over 50 goals. He knows how to score these goals. But if I'm Rick Tocchet, every time Zach Hyman touches the ice, I'm sending out Tyler Myers and saying, just hover. All you need to do is just sit beside him, push him out of the crease, and that's your job for the night. So that's what I would do at least. That's gonna be pretty hard to get through Tyler Myers. But yeah, if Hyman can continue to get these goals and these big moments, I think he's pretty set. Jacob, we'll stick with you again. What are going to be the keys to victory? Like, what's Edmonton going to have to do to really get past the Canucks?
I'm going to say it's going to lie a lot on Stuart Skinner's shoulders. He's been good. He's been very good. I'm not going to say by any means that his numbers have been bad in any way. He's got a 2.59 goals against and a 9.10 save percentage. So it's absolutely serviceable numbers for a starting goaltender, especially in the playoffs. Those are numbers that you can go by and win plenty of playoff games with. But I think he's going to need to do slightly better than those numbers if the Oilers are going to win the series and not just win it, actually win it in decisive fashion. Because I don't think they're going to be able to handle going through a war type 7-game series with the Canucks if they're going to try and go on a deep playoff run. I think if they try and do that, or if they end up doing that, they're looking at a round 3 exit type deal. I don't think they'd be able to make it much further than that. So if they're looking to really make a deep playoff run, they're going to have to try and win this in 5, maybe even 6 at the absolute longest type series. So they're going to need a lot out of Stuart Skinner, and they're going to need him to really be the backbone of this team and really keep the puck out of the net as the offense just drops 5, 6, 7 goals if they possibly can. I'm not saying that they will, but I'm saying that that's really the ideal situation for them if they're really going to try and push for that deep playoff run that this team really, really needs at this point. They're going to need Skinner to just keep pucks out of the net and be that goaltender that they've been desperately looking for in the playoffs recently.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, like all Stuart Skinner just needs to be the better goalie, which on paper does not look difficult when you're going up against the third string goalie. But like I mentioned with Holloway, adrenaline can take you so far. And Shelov's has got to be just that's all that's pumping through his veins right now, especially after that shutout to clinch the series. Like that's he's going to be coming into this series hot and he's going to want to win. So being the better goalie might not be as easy as it sounds to go up against a third string goalie. So, yeah, that's a great key to victory is for Skinner to be the guy. Matthew, who do you got, or what do you have for the keys to victory for the Canucks?
Well, I'll just off the top, as well, I've already said it, stay out of the box. Try to limit that power play as much as you can, because that's gonna be a big thing. In addition to that, I want to say first, it's funny how we're talking about the Canucks being a defensive juggernaut. It's just such a weird thing to say because over the years they have not been. That's something you far from to say. You describe that. That is not the Canucks. But so far, you know, in Tockett's tenure, they have been a lot better defensively. And that's the reason why Shelovs was able to be good. And nothing up for him, but you know, they were really good in front of him. He hadn't had to make like ridiculous saves. He made a few, but not to the point where you're like, he stole the game. You know, he was the reason they won. He just had to be good. And that's what he's gonna have to be good against the Oilers. And if they can play that same defensive structure and not, I feel like I was talking about this earlier with someone else and saying that, you know, I don't know how Tockett's gonna approach this series, but I don't think he should approach it as trying to shut down McDavid, trying to shut down Draisaitl. It should be, you should try to attack against the Oilers because the Oilers aren't a defensive team. I mean, they're not known for that. They've had chinks in their armor and, you know, defensively and goaltending. So I think they just got to attack and try to show their offense because they're a lot better offensively than the Kings. The Kings were able to drop 4 or 5 goals against them. Maybe not the end there, but they were able to. So, and the Canucks are a much better offensive team. So if they can play that more fast-paced offensive style, not saying they should get into a track meet against the Oilers, because that's not a good idea either, because most likely you're going to have Draisaitl and McDavid getting 5, 6-point nights on you. So that's not a good idea either. So balance it. I think it's just a balanced attack. Try to be the offensive team, but not to a point where you're allowing a lot of chances. And the Canucks can do that. They've shown it throughout the season. They are able to win those high scoring games and those low scoring ones. So I think they can play that type of style, but I think they shouldn't go into it as saying, we got to shut down McDavid and Draisaitl. That's our key. We got to have, you know, this line matched, hard matched against McDavid all the time. I think Lindholm's going to be that guy, but I don't think that should be the mindset going in. So it comes down to it. Play your game, be more of that balanced type style they've been all season long. And I think they'll be good to go out of this. It doesn't matter what goaltender's in that there.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you. I think the elite two-way play from Pettersson and Lindholm, I think that's exactly what this team is going to need. And JT Miller doesn't necessarily have the two-way game. He's been a lot better this year, but like that hard-nosed, gritty, kind of tough play that he can do as well. I think they just need that really strong two-way presence from those top three centers. And that's what they're going to do. Because like you said, you can't shut down McDavid-Draisaitl. Doesn't matter what you do. They're always going to find ways to score. So you just need to shut down the rest of the lineup and continue to contribute offensively. So yeah, that was very well said. So who's going to be the biggest X factor, Matthew? Or what is going to be the biggest X factor?
I mean, they could go different ways. I'm still gonna say I'm gonna go and say Dakota Joshua again here because I mean he was an X factor in one game. I mean, I don't know if he was really noticeable apart from that. I mean, he was good. He had some good chances. Helped set up the Lindholm goal in overtime. That third line was noticeable, but I think they need to be more noticeable in this series. So I'm going to say that line is going to be an X factor along with Joshua, because I don't know if the Oilers have a guy that can match what Joshua can bring. Yeah, they have Evander Kane. Yeah, they have Corey Perry, who's been a thorn in the Canucks side in the past. He's not the Corey Perry of old, though. I feel like Joshua could be a guy that could maybe draw some penalties that the Oilers would start taking, maybe frustrate a few of the guys. And that's the same thing with Höglander. So I think the X factor is those depth pieces that could maybe frustrate their offensive stars and maybe get under the skin of McDavid, which he has shown in the past that he can be. Guys can get under his skin and kind of gets off of the game a bit. So I think that's going to be the key in this series. So that'll be an X factor there.
Yeah, and he's a high energy guy that the Canucks are going to kind of rally behind that kind of energy. So, yeah, if he has a good game, the Canucks are going to have a good game. Jacob, who's the X factor for Edmonton, or what is the X factor?
You know, it's probably going to be Jack Campbell. No, so the low hanging fruit as always is simply it's Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, but we'll tie that into who and what combines for McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, and the power play. All of it comes together for that combined strength of the three of them, that triad that creates the raw goal scoring that is the X factor talent in the Edmonton Oilers. All of that has to synergize to come together and just pull everything up and bring all of them together to win. That is the biggest thing that they have that is going to cause them to just go over the hump. So I'm not saying that they're going to keep running at 50%, but they could still easily keep running at 30% because they've been doing that since last year. And that's something that they can absolutely still keep running at. Even if they dip off a little bit, the power play still remaining lethal and those players still remaining lethal in their scoring aspects is what's going to carry them over the hump and into the next round. So continuing to produce how they should is going to be the dominant X factor pushing them through this entire second round.
And I mean, would anybody really be surprised if they did continue at 50%? No, I don't think so.
Would it be surprised? No, but it'd be fun to see him push. You know what? Screw it. They'll push it up to 60% just because we can.
Oh, I hope not.
So give me your series MVP, Jacob. Who, I mean, low-hanging fruit here too, I guess, but
Series MVP, I'm gonna say it's gonna be Hyman. I think he'll drop a bunch more goals. He's at seven now. I think he'll double it. I think he'll hit 14.
okay, a bunch more goals as he finishes his first series with
I'm
seven
not saying
goals in five
14
games.
more. I think he'll be at 17 by the end of, or not 17, 14 by the end of the series is what I'm saying
Yeah,
here.
I get you. Matthew, series MVP.
I mean that low hang. I want to say, and I hope it is. This is going to be Brock Besser. I feel he's going to still keep that luck going. Pot a few goals. He seems to have the confidence against the Oilers. So I'm going to say he's going to be the series MVP and be really good in this series.
Okay, and to wrap things up, what's your prediction? Who's going to take the series, Matthew?
This is going to be a fun series. I think this is going to be a very exciting back and forth. At least I hope it is. I mean, I said the Predators one was going to be more exciting than I thought it, but I feel like the Oilers and Canucks can't don't shouldn't be going into a style where you're playing that grind out
I
because
don't know if
that
they're
basically,
capable of it.
I don't think so either. I think that would negate the skill and the stars that you've got and how you've played all season. So I think the Canucks are going to come out of it, though. As much as everyone's saying because of the goaltending, the Oilers are going to torch Shelovs or DeSmith, and Demko probably won't be back in this series. I'm hoping that's. I mean, I would go with Shelovs regardless to start because of how well he's played, but I'm going to say the Canucks in seven, just to go. I think they have that little extra that they could push them sums over here.
Okay, before I move on to Jacob, Matthew, I do just want to clarify what you just said. So if Thatcher Demko, it came out today that he's 100% healthy, ready to go, who are you starting game one?
I still game one Shelovs. The way he finished that, I think that's unfair to him. And just put Demko in and say, well, Demko's back. So yeah, he hasn't played in a bit now. I feel he'd be a bit rusty to start. Shelovs is on a roll. If he looks bad in game one and Demko's, then you put him in for game two. But to start, it's Shelovs, even if Demko is healthy.
I agree. That's what I would run to. You just want to run with the hot goalie, and that's what Shelov's is. Jacob, give me your prediction for second round series.
Yeah, just as my two cents, I'm always on the ride the hot goalie
Yeah.
hand. So I would agree with you on that. Just ride Shelovs in that scenario as well. But I don't think people should count the Canucks out as much as they might be. But I still think the Oilers come out on top. I think it's going to be a six game series. So I think they'll take it 4-2. I think it'll be a lower scoring series, maybe than I was kind of predicting, maybe in our discussion here. I don't think it'll be as much of a blowout game here and there. I think there may be one blowout game, maybe in game like two or three. But things will kind of settle down. I think things will be a little bit closer, maybe one overtime to kind of settle it towards the end. But I think the Oilers come out on top in six games. I'm gonna say a double overtime to end it too, just for the fun of it.
Oh, I don't
Fair
want
enough.
to. I did not like the one overtime they had in the Predators series.
Well, I've never
double
been so
overtime.
happy.
Although I was happy with that
happy.
one because they came back in that. So I was happy
That's
that
true.
did go to overtime.
I'm glad that I'm host today, so I don't have to get my opinion on record because it's just such like it could go either way. I could see
Yeah.
Canucks in five. I could see Oilers in five. Both games or both teams winning in seven. Like there's it's impossible to really predict this. So I'm glad I don't have to get my opinion on record here. So thanks everybody for tuning into this second round series preview. Again, I'm Jacob Billington with Matthew Zator and Jacob Strozik, and we'll see you on the next preview.